You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is so good to be back with you tonight. This Saturday evening, May the 19th, I'm your host, James Edwards, after taking a very rare week off to take a vacation with my wife in honor and in celebration of our 12th wedding anniversary. I am back this evening after spending a week touring Central America. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to tell you all about it this hour. We've got a busy show tonight, but I'm going to offer you details this hour and share with you observations from my experience in Belize, Honduras, and yes, indeed, Mexico. Two stops in Mexico, as it were. Later in the broadcast, David Duke is going to be back on the show tonight to present a special report. David Duke, as perhaps you've never heard him before, David Duke on this evening in the second hour to present a special report on health, diet, and fitness. More about that later. Also, he is the subject of a new Spike Lee movie, a new Spike Lee joint that's coming out later this year. And we'll talk about that monstrosity as well. David Duke back in the news in a big way in the Cannes Film Festival in France this week. So it's going to be a busy night of radio, as it is every week here in TPC. I tell you, the one good thing about me missing a show is, number one, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I did miss y'all last week, and it's great to be back with y'all. I'm like a concerned parent when I'm off the air. So last week I was actually listening to the show from the middle, and I mean smack dab middle of the Gulf of Mexico, cruising back towards New Orleans. And I was in the middle of the Gulf listening to the broadcast. Fantastic show last week. Winston Smith, Ken Givitan, his guest in the first hour last week, I think is just one of the most underrated commentators that we've got. Ken is just a great guest. Winston Smith and Sam Bushman, the legendary Sam Bushman, teamed up in the second hour, then Sam and Eddie in the third, so you got a little bit of a variety. Lots of topics. I enjoyed listening to the show, but I enjoy even more being back. And as those of you who listened to that show last week know that, well, as I just mentioned, my wife and I celebrated our 12th anniversary by taking our first vacation together without a kid in 8 years. Since we had kids, our first trip without a kid since my wife was pregnant with our first child over 8 years ago. But don't feel bad. We take a lot of vacations. We do take a lot of vacations. And I believe it's important to make memories with your children. But because we are such high investment parents, we homeschool and we just do almost everything with our children. And I enjoy that. But it was refreshing. What a vacation it was to make those memories and reconnect with my wife in that way. Just a fantastic trip, and again, details of that are coming this hour. It was an informative and eye-opening adventure that I hope by the time this hour is over, you can understand why I wanted to share it with you. We're going to make some political points and, well, just take you behind the scenes on the week that was. But it all started last Friday, a week ago Friday, in New Orleans. So we got down to New Orleans. And I said, you know, we can't be in New Orleans and not call David. And this is David's town. If he found out I was here and didn't call him, it just wouldn't be right. Nor would I feel right about doing it. So I called David after we got to our hotel in New Orleans at the New Orleans airport. And I said, man, I'm in town. Danny and I are in town, my wife. And, you know, let's get together. He said, oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. That's great. Should have called him before I got down there. But anyway, so we went over to his house, and when we got to the door, I said, David, what have you been doing? Have you been bench pressing your house? Because he's 67 years old, but he's built up in better shape than I've ever seen him in my whole life, and I've known him for 15 years now. So have you been bench pressing your house? And so we talked about health and fitness and diet and all the things he's been doing over the course of the last year. And he says, when you come back from out of town, because we had to come back into New Orleans to get home, he said, next week when you get back in town, we'll go to my gym together. I'll put you through the paces. And we did that too, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But what we did that day before we left out for our trip was we went to his house. He gave me a tour of his operations, and we got a nice tour of his house there in New Orleans. And I got to tell you, you would have thought that this guy must have run for governor of Louisiana at some point in his life, because when we were down there, we went to a very nice restaurant for brunch. And we got down there, and it was Saturday night. It was Saturday night after the show last week that we got down there. And then we met with him on Sunday morning last weekend for brunch before we headed out on our trip. And we went to this very fine restaurant for brunch. And then after that, we went to this coffee shop overlooking Lake Pontchartrain. And everywhere we went, he got the best table. If there was a line, he didn't have to wait. It was Mr. Duke this and that. And everybody down there deferred to him that I saw at these places. And it was very busy on a Sunday morning in Louisiana. So I don't guess I need to tell you not to believe the lies that the media tell you. But he's still very well respected, as he should be, down there in his stomping grounds. And as I've said before, to me and in my experience with him, great man, great friend. We've known each other for years. He's close to my family, calls regularly, just check in on the kids. And the more time I spend with him, the more my opinion of him is reinforced. I've never heard him say a curse word. I've never seen him take a drink. And not that that's bad, or take a drag from a cigarette. He is just, to me and in my personal experience, a fantastic human being, and I would never betray a friend, even if it cost me personally. And I'm thankful for David's friendship, and he's done a lot for me over the years, and he cares. And so anyway, as we were talking that day, and he was telling me about all of this, all of these things, and he was back in the news with this movie, I said, you know what, when we get back, I'm not doing the show coming up week because I'm going to still be out of town. But the week after that, which would, of course, be tonight, let's do a show together. Let's have you back on. We'll talk about your fitness plan, and then we'll talk more about some current news. So that's what's coming up tonight. That's what's coming up later in the show. When we come back after this first break this evening, I am going to tell you all about my time in these four different ports of call. We went to two stops in Mexico, one in Belize, one in Honduras. And I think it was interesting enough to warrant an hour of the show before we get back to business as usual. Does that sound okay to you, ladies and gentlemen? I always like sharing with you the personal aspects of what we do when it makes sense to do so, and take you behind the scenes on some of the things I get to see and do. And so that's what we're going to do this first hour. But I got to say one more thing before David comes on in the second hour, is that I have applied his fitness regimen over the course of the last week. So it was a week ago Sunday that I was back with him. And we went to his gym, and I have stuck to the plan for the following 7 days leading up to this evening. I can feel and see already a noticeable difference. So when he comes on tonight to talk to you about this stuff, I think you always put a little more stock into something that someone you know and trust tells you, a personal friend, as opposed to just anyone you would see on television or on the internet hawking a fitness plan. But I've applied it. I have actually stuck with it for the last. And of course, I'm a very dedicated and committed person anyway. I mean, I've been doing this show for 14 years. So when I stick to doing something, I commit to doing something, I do it, by God. And I'm only a week into the Duke plan, but I'm telling you, there's something to it. You're going to learn more about it tonight. But first, you're going to learn about what I did at these interesting locations. And that's coming up next. It's great to be back with you, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have a great 3 hours together tonight. I'm James Edwards. We're just getting started. Stay tuned.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. You know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
In a little cafe, just the other side of the border, she was sitting there giving me looks that made my mouth water. So I started walking her way. She belonged to Batman Jose. And yes, I knew I should leave when I heard her say, hey, come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man, so big and so strong. Come a little bit closer, I'm all alone, and the night is so long.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if we start talking about anything on this show, we can find a song from the 50s or 60s to match the topic. How about that, oldie but goodie, Jay? I do love that song, Jay and the Americans. Come a little bit closer. Well, I was there. I was in Mexico. Yes, indeed. Last week. And the first stop was Costa Maya, Mexico. Now, this would be the least impressive of the four places we went to. Although we did get to walk through an authentic Mexican market, and so you saw the vendors there peddling their wares, and I really enjoyed throughout the breadth of my trip chatting up the locals. You know, while unlike the song, I was with my wife, and so there was no temptress there. But thank you. But I was chatting up the locals, and I enjoyed chatting up the locals at each of these stops. And I don't know really what the lying press or the hate groups like the ADL or the SPLC pretend to believe. I mean, do they believe that when someone like me encounters someone in Mexico or Belize or Honduras that I growl at them or that I bark at them? No. You know, I treat everyone in my life, everyone that I run into, with respect and courtesy. I live in a majority black city here in Memphis, and so I see non-whites every day. And if there's somebody behind me, I open the door for them. I treat everybody with respect. But interestingly, I think it is people like us who are the true people who want to protect and defend God's creation and the diversity of mankind and the uniqueness that each of the different races possess. I certainly don't want us to be an amalgamation of one another. I want us to keep our differentness and our separate cultures and heroes and identities and all of that. So I enjoyed talking to the locals. If you get out of the commercialized touristy ports, which we did at each of these stops, you really see the real deal. And we hired a private driver and we toured the country for, you know, you get about a day in each of these stops. We had about a day in each of these stops, and I wanted to see the country. And amazingly, once you get a few miles away from this militarized area that they set up near the ports to protect the tourists, you're there. And you see what it's really like in these countries. And we ate at an authentic Mexican restaurant. It was just my wife and I, and our bill came, and we had a simple lunch and a couple of iced teas, and our bill came, and it was like 396 pesos, or $14. So, but I'll tell you, Honduras and Belize have their own national currencies as well, so they're smarter than Europe in that regard. They don't have a euro. They have their own national currencies. They may not be worth much, and I'm sure their national banks are every bit as corrupt as ours, but at least they are their own. And we walked the beach and we saw the buildings and we saw how the people lived. And I saw enough to know, believe me, that I don't want America to look like that. And so what's the difference? The difference is, of course, the biggest difference is the people. And you say, well, hang on a minute, James. You just said you were nice to everyone you met and encountered down there. Well, of course I was. And I learned from them, and I enjoyed talking to them. But that doesn't mean that I lose my ability to reason, or I lose my ability to see things as they are, just because I treat everyone with kindness doesn't mean that it changes realities. It doesn't change the reality of race. It doesn't change the realities of all of these things that sets us apart. But we can appreciate different cultures, and we can go down there and treat these people with respect, and while we're there, show their culture respect. And we certainly did that. And so from Costa Maya, Mexico, we went to Roatan, Honduras. Now, this is a barrier island off the coast of Honduras. And it has an interesting history. Again, at each stop that we made, I enjoyed reading about the local history, not necessarily history of the nation as a whole, but the local history of the places that we were at. And so here at this barrier island of Roatan, Honduras, it was majority black. Now, when you were in, obviously, Costa Maya, you see a lot of mestizos, which is a mix between American Indian and the Spanish, predominantly European. Down here, it was mostly blacks and Roatan, Caribbean blacks. And what happened was there were blacks, slaves, working a sugarcane plantation in the Caribbean or somewhere near there. And they had an uprising, and instead of killing them, which is exactly what the blacks did to the French in Haiti, which is why Haiti is such a scat hole today, as the president called it, our people didn't do that. We didn't slaughter them. They marooned them. They took them to this barrier island and left them there. And so that is why the population of this particular barrier island is predominantly black. And we hired two, but it is a big island, and I say big, it's about, I can't remember the exact dimensions, it's long but skinny. I think it's maybe 30 or 45 miles long and a couple of miles wide off the coast of Honduras, and we hired a private company there also to take us to a private beach called Little French Key. Absolutely beautiful. It's about 30 miles away from the main port, 30 miles, but a world away. And the differences in the standard of living here was much more stark even than in Costa Maya. They don't believe in drying machines. Let me just tell you that. First thing I noticed, no drying machines in Honduras, at least the part where we were. Clotheslines everywhere. Businesses, homes, rich home, better-looking homes, poor-looking homes, clothes flying in the winds everywhere you could go, and trash everywhere too. They don't believe in garbage disposal there any more than they believe in drying machines. Burned out cars, hither, thither, and yon. No American companies that I saw, except for one, and you're not going to believe it. They have one fast food restaurant in Honduras. It's not McDonald's, at least on this island, I should say. I don't know about the interior Honduras, but there on this island, one fast food restaurant. You'd say McDonald's, right? McDonald's is so global. It wasn't McDonald's. It wasn't Burger King. It wasn't Wendy's. Bojangles. Bojangles. If you are from the South, you know Bojangles chicken. They had a Bojangles there, and I asked about that. And they said that's the only American fast food chain there. But we went to Little French Key. They have a little zoo there. You can swim with jaguars. And one thing I did like about this is that it's so unregulated. My wife took pictures with monkeys. You just grab a monkey, and monkey gets on your shoulder, and you can just interact with the wildlife. Now, I'm not knocking these places by accurately describing what I saw. I'm telling you exactly what I saw. I saw garbage. I saw clotheslines. I saw these things. But I very legitimately enjoyed seeing it and taking it in and understanding how these people live and talking again to the locals. But on this day, I think most of our day was spent on the beach, sunbathing, swimming in the ocean, and it was beautiful. Kayaking. I didn't go too heavy into immersing myself in the history of Honduras, except to know that they received their independence in 1861, which was the same year we tried to win ours or began the war to win ours. But on this island off the coast of the Barrier Island, it was another smaller island off the coast of even the Barrier Island, you had the jaguars. They had lions in cages like a chain link fence. I mean, you could just stick your finger through the, I mean, we didn't do it, but you could just touch the lions. Incredible. It's just not like America where you can't get within 50 feet of a lion at a zoo with the moats and everything. I didn't spend a lot of my time immersing myself in the history of Honduras, but I sure did the next day in Belize. I'm going to pick up in the next segment. I'm going to tell you about my day in Belize, which was my most memorable day. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
I love this song. All right, everybody. Richie Valens, he died the day the music died with the Big Bopper and a few others, but he lives on tonight as we're talking about my time in Central America. Trying to give you the authentic feel here, I guess, with some of the music. Anyway, I'm going through my stops here this hour in the order in which they were made. So Costa Maya, then Roatan, Honduras, and now Belize. Belize City, no less. Belize City, Belize. My day in Belize was the most impactful and most memorable for me on this 12-year anniversary trip that I took. The trip that took me away from you last week, but thank God that we have great men like Sam Bushman, Winston Smith, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller to hold the fort while I spend a rare week with my wife. And so we made it to Belize. And the reason why I think my experience in Belize was so memorable is because it was the most real. Costa Maya, Mexico is a straight up tourist port. Once you get out of there, yeah, you can get a guide and you can see some sure enough Mexican countryside. And again, we did that. Roatan, Honduras is a barrier island, so you're somewhat insulated from the kind of experience that you would have found in the interior of mainland Honduras. But Belize was very authentic. So we pulled into port in Belize City. And we had to take a tender boat to the dock because you can't pull in close enough to dock in port. You got to take a tender boat from the boat to the dock. There was a guy. We had a black captain, and Belize has a lot of blacks too. And I hadn't laughed that hard in a while. Of course, it's hot. You think of the most miserable, hot, humid day in the South and multiply that by about 10, and that's just about every day down in Central America. And it's already that way. What we experience in late July, early August, they're in it right now. And he said, you definitely want to put your suntan lotion on. He said, I was always told to put my suntan lotion on, and one day I went outside and didn't put it on, and look what happened to me. And he was just as black. He was so black, he was purple. I laughed. Me and him both, I laughed so hard, he started laughing. But anyway, it was a fun. Anyway, we got into Belize. What did we do in Belize? Belize, we went to the ancient Mayan city of Altunha. Altunha. I have been fascinated with the pre-Columbian cultures of Central and South America since I was a kid, since as long as I can remember. I used to read every book I could find on the Aztecs, on the Mayans, and on the Incas, and it always had been a dream of mine to go in and to visit some of these ruins. And I'll tell you a little bit more about the Aztecs and the Mayans and the Incas in a second. But Belize, well, really all of the stops we made had the ruins. Honduras didn't, but the others did. But we didn't. My wife wanted to do some other things. And so anyway, I got my ruins day in Belize. And so first we took this tour of Belize City. Everything I saw in Honduras was multiplied exponentially in Belize with regards to the garbage. And folks, let me just tell you, they don't call it the third world for nothing. And this is the third world. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. I said it on CNN, and it rings true today. People can be nice. I got along with the people. I enjoyed talking to them. I respect them. But it's third world, and it's third world because of the people. I don't want America to look like that. But nevertheless, we're going through Belize City. It's dirty. You don't want to be caught there at night. Alone, I can tell you that much. There are 6 red lights in the entire country. I learned that. 6 red lights in the entire country, and only 2 of them work. And I actually saw one of the 2 that work. I saw the prime minister's house, the sitting prime minister, the current prime minister of Belize. We went right by his house, and he was sitting out on his porch. It was a modest home. A house like that would probably go for about $150,000 here in Tennessee. sitting on his porch. But and I'll tell you, the United States government issued a travel advisory for Belize because of all the kidnappings and robberies. Kind of reminded me of when my son Henry was born a couple of years ago. There, when we went to the doctor, to the hospital here in Memphis to have him delivered, they had advisories about Ebola. Everybody had to have an Ebola test because of some refugee we brought in that had Ebola. So anyway, more manifestations of the wonders of diversity. But unlike in Mexico, where you see a large mestizo population, and again, that's an American Indian and a European or a Spanish mix, what you saw in Belize were either straight up black, Caribbean blacks, or a mix between black and Indians, or a Creole, which is a mix between a European and a black Caribbean. But you also did see indigenous Mayans, descendants of the indigenous Mayans that had not been adulterated. Unadulterated. They're still there. There are still some of them. Now, obviously, when compared to the height of their power, they've been completely decimated. But that's not to say that every Mayan evaporated after the end of their civilizational reign. In some parts of the country in Belize, it exists not much different than they would have been found when the conquistadors landed in the 1500s. There are still huts in the jungle. I saw them with my own eye. Huts in the jungle where some Mayans still do basket weaving. They bathe naked in the river. I didn't see that, but they told me they did. I saw some of these huts. It was interesting. It was huts with battery-powered toys for the kids. You see this hut, and then you see a little motorized scooter for the kids. Now, they don't live like uncontacted tribes. There are still uncontacted tribes, by the way, in South America. They don't live like that. But they live with as little modern conveniences as they can get by with. And guess what? I respect that. They're fighting and living to preserve their culture. And it might not be much to us, but it's theirs. And I can appreciate why they'd want to keep it. And I talked to these people about that. I talked to a couple of people about it. And they don't want to mix. I said, what about, you're they don't like it. They don't like them to mix with whites. They don't like to mix with blacks. They don't like it. So that's interesting. And of course, they don't catch hell for it like other people do, namely whites. But it's healthy and it's right and it's fine. It's fine that everyone would wish to exist. Also saw some one-way bridges. We crossed over one of these one-way bridges, and I thought that might be the end of James Edwards. We went over it. Anyway, and you had to stop. I mean, traffic on the other side has to stop, so you can cross the bridge. I saw some schools, all blacks, but listen, they're in uniform. They were all in uniform. The blacks down there, you know, they're not these Americanized ones that we find here. These are the real deals, and they weren't insolent. They weren't sullen. They were happy people. And short of getting kidnapped or sacrificed on an altar, and by the way, I sat on an ancient Mayan sacrificial altar. I'm going to tell you about that before the end of the hour. But it was one of the most authentic experiences that you could have in Belize. You get out of town, and it's not for show. Now, true, we were only in each of these cities for short, controlled bursts. We spent about a day in each of these ports, and I didn't bushwhack my way through the jungle like Francisco Pizarro did, but for a day, I was immersed and fully surrounded by authentic Belize. And where we went to was the city of Altunha. This is an ancient Mayan city that wasn't discovered until 1963, after it was lost to the jungle. Not discovered until 1963. It was occupied until about 1000 AD. They settled it a few hundred years before Christ, lived there until 1000 AD. And I got to give them credit for that, too. Think about it. Their civilization lasted well over 1,000 years. The United States isn't even going to last for 300. America's not even 300 years old. We probably won't even make it to 2076 in any way that our founders would have recognized. So I got to give the Mayans a lot of credit for that. They lasted a hell of a lot longer. They held out a hell of a lot longer than America's going to hold out unless current trends somehow get turned around, which is, of course, what we're working to do. But I climbed this pyramid, and I sat at the sacrificial altar at its peak. You ask, were these people primitive? Well, that's relative. They were certainly more advanced than the tribes in North America. The American Indians here in what is now the United States, they were primitive nomads by comparison. These stone cities were and have always been very impressive to me. Using Stone Age technology, they built hundreds of these cities across the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, Belize, and Guatemala. They were certainly advanced compared to the Indian tribes that, we encountered up here, but certainly not on par with Europeans. Let's not pretend that they were. It wasn't even close. But the structures were still amazing, and they were tall. And I climbed up. You know, that's another thing I talk about. If it was something here in America, you couldn't get within 100 yards of it if it was of historical significance. But you can climb these pyramids. I mean, you can climb them. And I did. And it was a long climb. It was hard. My legs were burning. I said, my goodness. I mean, that had to get hard doing it every day. And I talked to some people there, and they said they didn't climb it like we climb them. They climbed it on all fours. They climbed it using their hands and knees. They climbed them, and they did that. They put themselves in a prostrated position to honor the god, to honor the sun god, to honor the king, to honor whoever they were honoring. But they didn't climb it like you would think that we would climb it with their standing up. They climbed it on their arms and knees. To give you a picture, it would be sort of like imagining a Southern Baptist, a leader of the Southern Baptist Convention, if he sees a black person or a picture of Martin Luther King, they get down on their hands and knees and start crawling. That's how they did it. That's how they climbed these. That's how they climbed these pyramids. Anyway, I'll tell you a little bit more about my time in Belize, and we'll wrap up this whole thing in the next segment. Stay tuned.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, our team has outdone itself now with the musical selection. But I am having a good time telling you about my time in Central America. And we're all the way up to my time in Belize. And I was telling you about my visit to the ancient city of Altenha. And I was climbing. I climbed the top of this pyramid at this particular stone city. And the ancient Mayans built hundreds of these cities throughout their empire. And I was on the top of the sacrificial. I put some pictures up, by the way, on Twitter, at James Edwards TPC, on my website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. A couple of pictures. Yeah, we got a lot more. But sitting on that altar, it's really just incredible. And again, you say, well, yeah, what about the sacrifices? Don't give them a hard time, I say. You know, these Indian tribes, especially the Aztecs, which was much more brutal than the Mayans, much more barbaric than the Mayans. Yeah, they ripped out the hearts and they sacrificed these people on these altars. Many times they were prisoners or captives in war or slaves or, you know, the occasional virgin, to be sure. But compare that to America. How many millions of our own babies have we slaughtered in an equally gruesome fashion from the wombs of their mothers? I think we're far more primitive when it comes to human sacrifice than the Aztecs or the Mayans were. So I don't give them a hard time for that. Anyway, you can see a picture of me sitting on one of these altars if you want to, at James Edwards TPC. But it's interesting. Even the name Maya, that wasn't what they called themselves. Columbus actually ran into one of the Mayans on one of his adventures. And when he was trying to speak with them, all they would say was Maya, Maya, Maya. Everything he would say, they would answer Maya. And that meant that they don't understand. And he went back to the old world and said, we found this new civilization, the Mayans. That's how that happened. But their heyday was between AD 250 and AD 900. And around 900, these stone cities, including Altenha, which is where I was at, were abandoned for reasons unknown. Now, this was more than 500 years before the Spanish arrived in Central America. Was it warfare? Was it famine? Was it drought, crop failure, a combination? It was probably a combination. They were at war with each other. Different Mayan tribes were at war with other different Mayan tribes. They had over 70 languages in one single empire. And believe me, they had slaves, and they genocided each other. But, of course, I've never heard the Mayans catch hell for having slaves either. And I think I said that just a moment ago, but it bears repeating. But by and large, the Mayans were done by 900 AD. That was, again, about more than 500 years before Cortez and the Spanish conquistadors landed in Central America. Around 900 AD, when they were dying out in the southern lowlands, they did move north, and they built their last great city of Chichen Itza. Chichen Itza has the most magnificent step pyramid in the world. But even it was abandoned by AD 1250. And from that point forward, they lived in the jungles. The jungles reclaimed their cities. And there are still Mayan cities that have never been discovered, and including the one I was at, which was only discovered in the 1960s. And so the Mayans still existed, though, in the jungles and in small bands. And with the arrival of the Spanish, they were dispatched quickly. God's will be done. But they still do exist. Not every Mayan evaporated once their civilization began to decline. They still do exist today, not as many as there once were, but they still do exist, and we talked about that. From Belize, I went to Cozumel. Cozumel is a first world place. It is on the Riviera Maya, and the Riviera Maya stretches from Cancun in the north to Tulum in the south, which Tulum is another the only Mayan city that was built on the coast, right on the ocean. And you have world-class resorts there. My wife and I went cave diving there. We went into one of these cenotes, which is an underground freshwater cave. And we went swimming in this cave, snorkeling, and amazing. Went swimming on a private beach with sea turtles. Wild sea turtles were within just inches of us. A breathtakingly beautiful beach in Cozumel, and very romantic. That was a baby-making kind of day. I would go back there to spend a week. I can't say that about any of the other places we visited, but Cozumel and on the Riviera Maya on the mainland. Cozumel is an island. We went to the mainland there and toured it, and fantastic. But this takes me back to my fascination. I won't say much more about Cozumel except to say it was like being in Miami or something like that, if you could still consider Miami to be first world. But my fascination with the age of exploration, that's what I want to talk about. The Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas. We talked a little bit about the Mayans. They were pretty much gone well before the arrival of Europeans. The Aztecs, though. Now, the Aztec civilization is said to have begun essentially in 1325 AD with the founding of Tenochtitlan. They founded it on an island in the middle of Lake Texcoco. It is now modern-day Mexico City. Mexico City is built on top of the ruins of the former Aztec capital. Within 200 years, that civilization was founded and destroyed. Within 200 years, in 1519, Aztec Emperor Montezuma met Cortez on the causeway leading into Tenochtitlan. It had to be one of the most incredible moments in all of human history, in the entire history of the world, that moment when the Spanish met the Aztecs, when Cortez met Montezuma on the causeway leading into Tenochtitlan. If I could go back to one moment in history outside of the miracles of Christ and some history of the Confederacy, I would go back to that moment. Those two civilizations at the height of their power. You can't argue that Spain is more powerful today than they were in the 1500s. You just can't. And certainly the Aztecs aren't. But to go back into that moment in 1519, and by 1521, it was all over. An initial force of 500 conquistadors toppled the most powerful civilization in the history of the Americas up until that point. A civilization with a population numbering into the hundreds of thousands. I did an eighth grade history project on that. It was a video project for my eighth grade history class. And I was the leader of our group. And I said, let's do it on the Spanish conquering the Aztecs. I actually played Montezuma in the movie. And you say, well, smallpox helped. Well, I won't say it didn't. Smallpox definitely helped the conquistadors conquer the Aztec Empire. You could say it was smallpox, or you could say it was God's will. I would go with the latter. But in that time the heathens were crushed, Lake Texcoco was drained. I mean, wow, just imagine being a participant in the age of exploration, going into these primeval forests. And those primeval forests are still there. I saw them, and they are impenetrable. Imagine being one of those people making first contact with a civilization like that, the pyramids, seeing it all in its prime. Absolutely incredible. So we talked a little bit about the Mayans, obviously, the Aztecs, the Incas. The Incas were the other of the big three of the Americas, the Mayans, the Aztecs, and the Incas. The Incas, although were not in Central America, they were in South America. They inhabited a sliver of land that ran pretty much the entire coast of modern-day South America between the Pacific Ocean and the Andes Mountains in modern-day Peru and Chile. That was their empire. They began around, it's similar to the Aztecs timeline. They got their start around in the 1200s, and in 1533, about 12 years after Cortez conquered the Aztecs, Francisco Pizarro conquered the Incas. He executed Incan Emperor Atahualpa, I guess we would pronounce it, and he founded the city of Lima, Peru. I guess you could say the joke's on us now, because as we have turned away from God, these people are now conquering our lands. The descendants of these people are conquering our lands. But that's the legacy, I think, of the Europeans, the legacy of the white race, a race of conquerors, a race that once, at one time, maybe not so much anymore, but at one time we had the will to sail beyond the known horizon, the will to scale the highest peaks, the will to explore the deepest depths, and to go beyond our world and into the stars. But we've given all that up for diversity. We're all slaves now to the new state religion, political correctness, the cult of equality. But ladies and gentlemen, those were just my observations and reflections from my experiences in Central America. It's good to see these things firsthand, to explore. That's in our blood. Now, in no way whatsoever can what I did a few days ago in taking these guided tours compared to what our cousins, the Spaniards, would have felt. But when you're sitting atop one of these ancient pyramids and you're looking out over this wild and untamed jungle, if you close your eyes just for a minute and begin to drift, you'll feel just maybe a faint pulse of what they must have felt. And I got to say, in closing on this hour, I want these people, the people of Belize and Honduras and Mexico, I want all of the people of the world to endure and to prosper, but not at our expense. I don't want to trade my patrimony and my traditions and my language and my heroes and my faith for theirs. I want us to all exist and all to thrive and all to respect one another, but with borders and with lines of distinction. That was my trip to Central America, ladies and gentlemen. I hope there was something in there that you could draw from. We'll be back with David Duke right after this.
Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.